Ephesians chapter 3, to be able, once again, to see these things that are in Ephesians chapter 3 that we're in the midst of looking at. Ways of taking different things, interpreting Scripture. And one of the primary things is to go at it from the knowledge of good and evil, which we gained at the tree in the garden, and which is progressed in the Scriptures and in history to seeing it from the standpoint of law. Or we can open up the Scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to simply open our eyes that we can see what He is doing in each of the passages. And this one's a very important one. So let's prepare ourselves by prayer, testing ourselves to see if we are in His power, that He might teach us and guide us and illuminate, open it up for us. Let's pray. Father, once again, we enter into that fearful area of opening up our Scripture, realizing once again, Father, our total inadequacy of understanding and knowing without the power of Your Spirit. So, Father, we pray now that He will open our eyes that we might see. Each time we open to this passage, Father, the Spirit will just open up new things and cause us to see the dimensions that are going on in regard to the fullness of God and how to love as Christ loved, and the importance of loving as Christ loved. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's do what we've been doing now. Maybe last night, I don't know, but let's just read our passage again, and so that we're oriented together. I study during the week and all, and all of you have so many different things, from family to bills to work to all kinds of things that enter into your life. And so let's orient ourselves to, at least by reading, the passage that we are involved in. We are in Ephesians chapter 3, and we have moved to verse 14. And verse 14 is Paul's prayer. And it is a very good outline or guiding prayer for all of us. But let's take a look now. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, parentheses concept, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, in parentheses, that. Now just take out verse 15. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, that. Okay, the reason he is going into prayer, here's the reason why, in order that. Now here's his request, here's his prayer. He, God the Father, the one whom we address in our prayers, would grant you, so we know it's going to be by grace, not earned or deserved, would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Now, in context, I've tried to show you, and you can see it, that the riches of His glory is His love. In the context, not just pulling that out of somewhere. We've worked through this in context. Now, to be, right, would grant you to be strengthened with power. So we're going to have some power, strengthened with power, through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always the one, is the one that gives the power in various aspects of life, with power through His Spirit in the inner man. That's the new man that we became, new spiritual creatures. Now, why do you have the strengthening of the Holy Spirit? So that Christ may dwell, take up a visit in reference to fellowship, in your heart. Inner man, heart, same concept, different emphasis. Now, how's all of this going to happen? Through faith. By means of faith. And, okay, so we have His prayers that we will be strengthened with the Holy Spirit so that Christ can dwell in us, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able. That's crucial. Because you have to realize, without the power of the Spirit, I am not able. We have to be able to recognize that. I am not able. May be able. Okay? Have the ability to do what? Comprehend or grasp. With all the saints, very important phrase there if you recall, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love. Okay, the breadth, length, height, depth refer to his love. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Now, right here is where we are in our study. Surpasses knowledge. Now, why all of that? Why all of these things? In order that, here's the final purpose cause. In the Greek, here, the construction, final purpose cause. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Okay, this is where we left off last week. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You will recall that last week we noted how Paul uses the word surpassing. We saw it used with surpassing glory, surpassing grace, surpassing greatness of his power, surpassing riches of his grace, and here we have the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses knowledge. I didn't finish it, but sometimes Paul uses another word conveying the same concept, to surpass, to rise above, or to excel. We won't turn there. But in Philippians 3:8, surpassing value of just knowing Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which surpasses all human comprehension. And what we're dealing with in all these things, this is not something you're going to learn even by study of Scripture. This is going to be a learned experientially when you are participating in this love and in this power that is given to us. Now, what we want to do here is remember what is the subject. The subject is his love. The subject is his love in our verse. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Okay? Surpasses knowledge. Right? The present tense. And remember, love is the subject. It is a characteristic of love that is given to us to surpass all human knowledge. It is a characteristic of love to surpass all human understanding. People, this is why. If you think you can sit down and figure out what this love is and then produce it when it's necessary, you're going to fail. It's beyond your ability to do that. This is one thing that has come to me, and I hope that I've conveyed it to you. You can't figure it out, what love is going to look like in every given circumstance. You can't write down 50 things about love and then try to make those happen in your life. They're not all 50 going to happen at the exact same time. And so you want to play the game of, well, this is here and this one's there and this one's there. You're not going to. It surpasses our ability. This is one of the reasons, people, stay with me, this is one of the reasons why most Christians, unconsciously, don't want to make spiritual love the gold objective like Christ said, the new commandment. They like to make what? Things like righteousness, things like moral conduct, the things that relate that I can control out here. Because then I can see and I can plug everything in and I'm in control of everything. But with love, I don't have that grip. I don't have that control. It doesn't have a bite that I can get in there and see and make happen. I've got an understanding, by the way. We don't even understand what righteousness is. But we think we do. So, for right, yes, you do this, you don't do bad, you don't sin, you do this, you don't do that, and that's righteousness. Wrong. People, even if we could take all sin out, you still haven't accomplished his righteousness. And I want you to realize that. The absence of sin doesn't equal his righteousness. Beyond our understanding. But we think we can do it, and that's why most people, Christians throughout church history, starting with the scribes and Pharisees, go to the law and go to those things that control conduct, because I can get in there and I can control that and I can tell you what to do. See, the law tells you. People like the law. Why? The law says if you're walking down the road and there's a bird that's fallen out of his nest, it tells you what to do. If you accidentally kill somebody, if you accidentally kill the fetus inside of a body, this is one reason we know it's not a live fetus, people. If you want to study the law in this respect, it's why we know there's not life in the womb, because if you study the law all that you have to do is take care of the woman's medical bill. But if you murder somebody, or kill, not murder, but if you kill somebody accidentally, you're hitting with a hammer, boom, and the head of the hammer comes off, and you, then you've got to replace that worker. You've got to do a lot of things because it's a life. Study it. But we don't want to study Scripture. We've got to study it and understand what's going on in Scripture. We like law because we can control people with law. We can control ourselves with law. I can go to bed at night and say, I did good. I did bad. I didn't do this. I did that. Whatever. Love doesn't give me that. And here's the reason. You see now in Scripture why that is. It's beyond understanding. It is beyond understanding. So it is the characteristic of love to surpass human knowledge. You're not going to figure out what love's going to do in every circumstance, dear people. Don't think you can. The active voice, the subject performs the action of the verb. What's the subject? The subject is love. People, you're not the subject. This is very important. You know, I like people, Bible church, oh man, we're real big on Greek and Hebrew. They come to something like this, and then they make it the believer that has to do this. This isn't the believer doing it. This is love doing it. Your question is, how can I have that love doing that in me? By faith in the Spirit. The subject is not you. This is very important when we get to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and following. Love is, love is, love is. Love is the subject, not you. Love is long-suffering. You're not long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. No, that's what love is. Love is the subject. Oh, well, you're splitting here. Oh, well, then how come, boy, in other cases, you like to just really get down there on what the subject is of the verb and all of this kind of stuff, but when you don't like it, that's just making a big deal out of something. No, people, let's be fair with Scripture. The subject here is love, God's love. God's love is beyond human understanding. Don't try to copy it. Don't try to imitate it. Don't try to make it happen. You can't. Love is the subject, the love of Christ. Spiritual love that we experience from the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that gave it to the Savior gives it to you when you walk by faith in the Spirit. This is why it is this love. This is one of the reasons why it is this love that authenticates you as belonging to Christ under the new commandment in John 13. By this all will know that you're mine. Why? Because you love as He loved. That's why. So it's what authenticates us. So the love of Christ, produced by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, performs the action of the verb. Okay, let's look at our verse. Verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses, and that's what we were looking at, love surpasses knowledge. Love rises above and beyond human understanding. That's what's going on. This love rises above and beyond even human understanding. And let me just pause here and say this about that. This is why if you love as Christ loved, the world isn't going to understand. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 1 say about Jesus Christ on the cross? Foolishness to the Greeks. This is foolishness. To love as Christ loved will often make you look foolish. And I've used various examples in your everyday life. To forgive 70 times 7. And that's what love will do. You're going to look like a fool. You may even look like a fool to the person that you're forgiving. And that's why we don't want love. I want something that'll make me look like John Wayne. I want something that'll make me look great. I want something that'll make me look strong. Then don't say you're going to want to love as Christ loved him. Be honest. Don't be deceptive of yourself. Say you want something else, but not you don't want this love. So the love of Christ goes beyond the breadth, length, height, depth. What does all of that mean? Beyond the human perception, the human understanding, those the generic ways in which man thinks. And this love goes beyond that. His love is without measure. The human mind simply cannot comprehend this love. to know the love of Christ, a love that surpasses knowledge. Okay, we've already seen this, haven't we? The Bible does not define it. This love is indefinable. The Bible does not define love. This is one of the most wonderful things that happened in my life some 10 years ago now. Sitting in my study and realizing, working hard. It was just amazing because I went from the way that I'm trained, from seminary and my past. I just got out all my language books, first of all, lexicons, and got all them out. And I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up with the definition of love, this love, agape love. And so I started. And I start with a simple lexicon, and boom, okay, it's got some ideas, so I put that down, and then I get a lexicon that's more, and then a broader, and then the one that's in the 8 volumes. Pretty soon, people, I got scraps of notes all over the place. And all I'm dealing with is a lexicon. Then I start going to men who I come to appreciate in the language, in their language ability, and look what they do. Pages talking about love. Then I go to a lot of notes that I have. And pretty soon, if I could come up with a definition, it would have been 20 pages. And still missed it. And it was in the midst of all of that frustration, trying to define this, because I'm very big on defining terms, that it was revealed to me, hey, the Bible doesn't define love. Relax. It does not define love. It's indefinable. The Bible describes. The Bible describes when love is present. God's love is present in your soul and in your life. It creates an environment inside of you. It creates an environment wherever you are. That's what this love will do. It will create an environment in your home. It will create an environment in your office. It will create an environment in the local assembly. It will create an environment whenever this love is present. You can walk into an environment like James is talking about in his epistle, and you can just see this spiritual love is not here. A lot of law. And you can tell the environment of law, too, people. You can tell the environment of law. We all can tell the environment of sin. You can tell the environment of rituals and legalism and da-da-da-da-da. You can tell the environment of spiritual love, too. But the first place you can tell it is inside your own soul. The environment that this love will make inside of your soul. So the Bible doesn't define it. It describes the impact of this love. Secondly, for this reason, no one, not even a believer, can produce this love. You cannot produce people what you cannot comprehend. I hope that's simple. If we take the truth of the Scripture here, it's incomprehensible, beyond comprehending. Then, people, you can't produce it by the energy of the flesh. I can't produce what I can't comprehend. And this love is beyond human comprehension. Therefore, it is beyond human production. This is very important. We can produce what we can understand. We cannot produce what we cannot understand. And we cannot understand this love. Now, what most Christians want to do, here's the problem. What most Christians want to do is try to produce this love, just like they produce other things in their life. But what this means is they arrogantly first assume that they're able, there's that word, I'm able to understand this love. Now that I understand this love, I'm able to produce it. People, you cannot understand this. We're not able. This is why it requires the Holy Spirit. They assume, first of all, they can understand it, and then they assume that they can produce it. If you tell me the ingredients, then I can produce it. Tell me the ingredients. Let's go to something silly. Tell me the ingredients of something that the whole world has been trying to get now for almost a century. And that is the formula of Coca-Cola. Figure this out. The Russians thought they had a way that they were blackmailing the Coca-Cola company at one time. Didn't work. But if I could figure out the formula, I could make it. Everybody's tried to copy this. The formula is kept in one safe and it's produced in an entirely different state. I don't know if you know that. If the formula is in one state, it's produced in another state. No, it's not all done one place. All kept in one place. It's an interesting story. But what's the deal? What's the secret? If I know the secret of what makes Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, I got it. I can make it. But I don't know it. Okay, people. Try to figure out what's the secret of spiritual love. And then I can make it. The secret about it is you can't figure it out. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. Therefore, we can't produce this love. This is so important in where we are today in our society, because Christianity is so influenced by psychiatry and psychology and therapy and everything else. We live in a society that is very, very strong male-female differences. Men from Mars, women from Jupiter, or however that goes. All this type of thing, and if we can figure out woman, and if we can figure out man, then we've got this thing, we've got it lit. But what happens is, and I say this in love and warmth, not in ridicule, but if you're going to do this, because women, and I love this, women are so complicated, you know, that you've got to have a book, and you're going to have to figure them out monthly, you know, in the two periods of the month. You're going to have to figure them out age-wise, because things change with age. You're going to have to do the same thing with a man. You've got a lot of books to read. And with everyone you meet, then you've got to, okay, wait a minute now, let's see. You are a teenage woman, you're a teenage boy, boys are different, and you are in your 20s, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da. Now, let's see, are you in the middle of the month, or in the month, where are you? And I've got to figure it all out. You know why we read all those books, people? Because we want to figure it out. And then I'll do this. If I can figure out woman, then I know how to do it. If I can figure out men, then I can do it. But the problem is, you can't. People, nowhere in the Bible do you have written down, oh, a woman's got to do this way, and a man's got to be treated that way. A woman's got to be dealt with this way, and a man's got to be dealt with that way. But boy, you take modern man, modern Christianity, and we're real big on that. Show me in the Word! Well, are you denying that there's a difference? No. I'm doing something more important than that. I'm telling you that if you walk by the Spirit, the love that He pours into you takes all that into consideration that you can't figure out. You don't have a woman at this time of the month needs this kind of treatment, this kind of love, and then at another period of the month. You don't have that in the Bible. What you have in the Bible is to always love her in spiritual love. Always love him in spiritual love. Love never fails. I don't have to read 100 books. I don't have to read a lot of books. What we have to do, which we don't want to do, because we want to figure it out. We want to figure it out, and we want to make it happen. How much easier this is. You don't have to go spend a lot of money on books and all of this stuff. Another reason we like all these books is because it feeds our arrogance. I'm a man. I want a book to tell, oh boy, you got to be real sensitive to me because I have a very delicate thing, you know, and this is very delicate about me. And boy, I want you to really consider when you say this. And your woman says, oh, well, I'm really a, you know, I'm a tender creature. I'm from Jupiter, and you got to really handle me differently, and I'm this, and I'm that. That's why we love those books. What's another big line of books you're going to read in bookstores today? What is your personality makeup? Are you a sanguine? He's calling sandwiches. Are you this? Are you that? Now we've got to figure all of this out. Well, you just don't understand. I'm the kind of person that just doesn't express myself. I'm the kind of person that does this. And I'm the kind of person. And you just have to understand that I'm the kind of personality. I always just am in there, boy, and I don't even think before I talk. And you just have to take that into consideration. No, I don't. Spiritual love will take that into consideration. And not only that, I want to say how powerful this love is. Not only, see, I've been dealing with it from you to that other person. Let's talk about what spiritual love does inside of me, a male, you, a female, at any time of the month, a male at any time in his life, a teenager, a different personality. What God has given to us people is something so phenomenal, length, depth, height, breadth, so phenomenal, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, whether you are a male sanguine or a female sanguine, whether you are this or whether... I mean, we can put together so many complications here, and you're going to try to learn all of that and learn how to treat somebody? Well, what happens when you meet strangers? I need to know... Okay, I know you're a female, but I need to know... What are you? Here's a four types of person. Which are you? And then I need to know about this and that. Hey, get out of my face. Get out of my life. Go to a bar and just ask people what their sign is. That'll help you. But don't bring that into the spiritual life, people. You see how wonderful this thing is that God has given to us. It surpasses all those boundaries. I don't care that I'm a male with this deal and with that deal and all of this kind of stuff, midlife and all that thing that's going on. Walk in the Spirit and His love will take care of me. And then I don't need to worry about others because His love. If I'm walking in the Spirit, people, He knows what your soul needs at any given moment. I don't. And if I read 100 books, I'm still not going to. But Christians are caught up in this thing of I've got to learn and understand male and female because therein lies the whole secret. Show me that in Scripture. Show me where it says this kind of love is for the female, this kind of love is for the male. Tomorrow night, do not speak against one another. Now, is that just for men? Or is that just for women? Or is the one you're not supposed to speak against the woman, or is the one you're not supposed to speak against the man? Or is it that a woman can't speak against another woman, but she can't speak... None of that enters into that discussion. You don't speak against another believer. Boom! That satisfies male and female. But we're so caught up, I've got to learn this stuff so that I can do it. Where did we get that from? What's the whole point of the law? We've got to know the law if we're going to live by the law. If I'm a legalist, or if I have a list, I've got to learn the law. If I learn the law, then I can live by the law. So let's study the law and make sure everybody knows the law and live by the law. And then we want to come over and do that in regard to His love. And we fall apart. It's just an impossible search. I've read all these books, and I try to understand you, and while you're in there crying, I don't know why you're crying. I don't know what to do. I'm out of here. I'm just out of here. It's just it. You're not going to understand. So what did God give us? God gave us His Spirit. And the most powerful thing that comes from the Spirit is His love. And that love is what this interaction between believers is all about. So, this is the power of the things that we are looking at this point. To know the love of Christ. One, the love of Christ is indefinable. The Bible doesn't define but describes. Two, for this reason, no one, not even a believer, can produce this love by the energy of the flesh. It is beyond our comprehension. We can't understand it, therefore we can't produce it. Does that mean it isn't going to come from us? Yes, it's going to flow from us if we will walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. It will come from us. How can we produce what we don't even understand? See, that's why you have to understand woman, man. Then you have to understand all the personality types in each of these categories. And then it changes ages, and it changes with this. This is very big in America. Very big with Christians. Because it feeds their arrogance. It gives them something to control. Plus, you don't have to walk this by faith then. that God has given to us, trust me, I'll pour in this life. You trust me, I'll pour in this life. Three, therefore, to produce or experience this life requires the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul starts off the whole equation with the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, you Christians even know how to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why through church history reads horribly. Look at it today. But church history, if we took a whole history, just went century by century by century, Christians, or at least those who come under that banner, whether they are or not, we'll talk about later, but Christians killing one another, attacking one another, separating from one another, angry at one another, competing with one another. All through church history, it's filled with division. Filled with division. Where do you think denominations came from in America? I'm this, I'm that. America, well, we get mad, we walk. Americans love divorce. Americans love to walk. Americans love just, I'll go over there and start something else. We have so many denominations. We have so many movements, more than the English, the Germans, the Italians, the French put together. We just love to separate. We love to get it all here, this way, this way, this way. I got it all figured out how I'm going to do this. This love is known only by the presence of the Spirit. And very few believers know how to walk by faith in the Spirit of the living God, who indwells them. Four, the human mind cannot comprehend the breadth, length, height, or depth of the love of Christ, which is the love of God. We try hard to comprehend love, to define love, to understand love. The poets try, the songwriters, authors in writing books, and psychology, psychiatry, and on and on, trying to define this thing, get a grip on it, this thing called love. Well, people, if we have that much trouble understanding human love, and pardon the expression, we be human, you're going to turn around and now you can figure out divine or spiritual love? You can't even figure out, you cannot even figure out human love. This is what's so beautiful about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's kind of funny. It's kind of sarcastic. See, the mind of man can understand the things of mind, but who can understand the things of God but the Spirit of God? We can't even understand the mind of man. We can't even understand the thinking of man. We can't even figure out what human love is about. This is what Christ was saying to John. Hey, John, you're of earth. This is the material earth, and you can't even figure out the wind. How am I going to tell you about things in heaven? So, we try so hard to comprehend love and define it, and what we just got to realize that it is beyond comprehension and understanding. It is beyond that. Now, I'm pressing this for a very important reason. The reason I'm flowing here and did it. Because in a few weeks, we're going to start on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is. Oh, well, see, there it is. That's what it, no. No. What you're going to be looking at is not something for you to go out and produce. You're going to be looking at 16, in that passage, 16 impacts of love in your soul, in your life. They're not there so you can try to figure them out and produce them. Because then you start right in and argue what is long suffering. So it's not going to be designed so that if we can draw this picture and we can take it all up, boy, we'll understand love when we're through. No, all that we're going to understand are 16 impacts of love, and that's just 16 there. There are many others in the Bible that we'll look at. We're just going to look at 16 that Paul has put together for us to give us a running start on this thing. But don't think when you're through with 1 Corinthians 13 you understand love. No, we have a grasp of 16 impacts of love in our soul and in our life. But we're just not able to comprehend this love. we learn this from the cross. From the point of eternal restoration with God, we do not live by law. We do not live by some strict code. We live by grace. We live by His power. We live by His love. This is what we're going to live by. And our secret, if you want to call it that from our study in Samson, that this love is beyond comprehension. It's beyond human understanding. It's what's impossible in the church to understand and then to make it happen. How to love, what love looks like under every and every given circumstance, and why love works here, and why this, and why that. Do not speak against one another tomorrow night. Why not speak against one another? This person's done something wrong. He's going to see it relates to his love. Do I trust love, though? And then you come up to the last thing in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. People, I'd rather be on the era of walking in his love than walking in his law. Walking in law. So, we're going to keep battling this thing out. When and how to love. How we know how, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the direction and power of the Holy Spirit. But what it's going to look like in any given circumstance, people, we do not know. What long-suffering, and I'm just building you up, what each of these long-suffering, kindness, bearing all things, what this looks like in any given circumstance, don't try to figure it out. It's just that is what's going to happen. We try to comprehend people. I hope no one here will raise their hand. Raise your hand if you can figure out what it is that caused God to become man and offer himself on a cross for us. And figure it out. Beyond just saying his love. Can you figure it out? Why would God, finite man who doesn't deserve or earn anything, is an enemy, why would God become man, lower himself to that point? Himself. This is what idolatry is. Idolatry is trying to make God down to me. And that's why God sent his son. Okay, you want to see what I look like? I'll send my son. You don't need your idols. I'll send my son. Why would God do that? Why would he die on the cross? That is a law that defies knowledge, doesn't it? It defies understanding. I used to be a big reader. Of someone that some of you may know about, some you may not know about. She was a very big, philosopher. I guess philosopher would be the best word for Ayn Rand. And one of the reasons that Ayn Rand was not a believer was right here what we're talking about. A God that would die on a cross, she could not figure out. In her logical thinking, she had a great mind, in her logical thinking, she could not figure this out. And man can't. Cannot figure it out. Don't even try. The greatest minds cannot figure it out. How and why all of this is about. It's about his love, but we can't figure it, understand that. It defies knowledge that understands Jesus Christ washing the feet of his disciples. A love that will subserve itself. A love that says, I will sacrifice for your benefit. What we do generally when we think about love, I love you, now roll over for me. I love you, now you do this for me. Like the words I love you, or even not just the words, the reality of my love, then you should become my servant. I love you, so you become my servant. You do what I want because I love you. We get very bold with, I love you. Like, wow. Let's, write it in the sky. Let's all bow down. What does his love do? I love you. I serve you. I'll die for you. I'll wash your feet. I'll restore you. I'll humble myself to become a servant. I'll do this. This is why people don't like this love. A love like that, I don't understand. What most people think about love is, I love you, therefore you do for me. My love for you is for my benefit. Whereas spiritual love says, my love for you is for your benefit. And I will do whatever it takes to restore you. It's a love that defies law. It's a love that defies law, yet fulfills law. How can that be? How can it defy law and fulfill law? This is a love that defies understanding, that we are not to judge one another, only forgive. But that lets them off the hook. That does this, that does this. This is a love that is beyond knowledge. This is a love that says it never fails. Well, you know, sometimes you really have to have law, and you have to have impersonal love, and you have to have tough love, and you have to have a lot of symbols that people come up with to disguise loving as Christ loved. So they don't want this love. Let me give you the epitome here. Satan as a genius cannot understand the love of God. This is what Satan hates. This is what Satan hates, is this love. Now, watch. We can understand. Satan hates this love. This love being the love of God, spiritual love. He hates this love. Okay. This is why, then, he will do whatever he can to do what? To stop you from walking by faith in the one who will produce this love. He's smart enough to figure that out. I don't want you to produce this love. I'm going to do whatever I can to stop you from just walking by faith in the Spirit, because he knows that this fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to think that you get the Holy Spirit's power by confession, by repentance, by being good, working hard. I want you to think that you produce this love by working hard at it, understanding it, working hard to be what love is every day. He doesn't mind all of that stuff. You're not even in the contest anymore. You're over there building bricks like the Jews in the slavery of Pharaoh. He's not concerned. It's when you're out there resting those 3 days that he doesn't want you to be out there doing it. He wants you working hard. So he's going to do whatever he can to make sure you don't believe that it is by faith alone and faith only in the power of God that is going to produce this love. So if we understand, he hates this love because it is this love that defeated him at the cross. And what does God say? Oh yes, he's deserving of my love. And I'll give it to him. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. How can you forgive God? Just keep forgiving and keep forgiving. You think you're the only one that just asked to forgive 70 times 7? You keep forgiving, you keep restoring, you keep using, you keep forgiving, you keep restoring. I don't understand that. You're fickle, you're wishy-washy. You're righteous. You need to be firm. You need to have that righteousness firm. That's what he keeps going. That's his banner. God says, no, I'll just keep on with my love. Keep on with my love. Okay, let's look at our passage. 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Now we come to it. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We have the conjunction here. Used here to introduce a final clause. So, without the Greek, it introduces that final clause. See that word, that? And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that right there is what I'm dealing with. The conjunction introduces a final clause to all these things we've been studying. That. So we talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about Jesus Christ. We talked about this love, height, breadth, depth, width. We talked about it surpasses knowledge. We talked about all these things. What's all this about? Why do I want all of that? Right here. In order that you may be filled. Aorist, passive, subjunctive of the root, paro'o, and what is beautiful here is that passive voice, is passive. I hope this clicks in your soul now, in your thinking. Passive, what happens here? The subject receives the action of the verb. Okay? What is the verb? May be filled. The subject is you, the believer, who first of all has the Holy Spirit, then Jesus Christ, and then this law that surpasses my what? That you, in having all of that, in order that, having all of that, you may be filled. Now, where does that word may, M-A-Y, come from? That's what we call, that's because this is in what we call the subjunctive mood. Maybe you'll have this, and maybe you won't. And what is it all going to depend on? Go right back to that faith in the Holy Spirit. Way back to the very beginning. Okay. That you may, subjunctive mood, have, receive. Passive voice, you just receive it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. It isn't going to be by lots of studying and lots of work. There's going to be something given to us. Now, we're studying how to love as Christ loved. And you saw that Jesus Christ is filled with the Spirit. Now, our goal, and what a goal this is, look at it. Be filled up all the fullness of God. Is that possible? What an impossible concept. I mean, just think about it. Filled me. Filled up with the fullness of God. My understanding of God is just too big for me to be filled up with God. Me, a sinner, filled up with all the fullness of God. So right here, the issue is the fullness of God. Be filled up totally. Now, what does that mean? Be filled up. This is all parts of you. Your body, your soul, your spirit, your life, vocabulary, the way you speak, think, act, everything. To fill up the deficiency that exists inside of us. The love of Christ fills up this deficiency. Now, what we have happening is, when you have this love that surpasses the knowledge and fulfills all the things we've been studying in now, when you have, I'll just put it on the board so that you don't miss this, what is the fullness of God? Theologians will argue, preachers will argue, let's see if it's in the context for us. Let's just see if it's in the context of what we're studying. When you, the believer, walking by faith, when you grasp, comprehend experientially, which we saw in the Greek lexicon, translated grasp, when you grasp this love, you are filled with the fullness of God. In context, people, the fullness of God is His love. It's this love that the Holy Spirit pours into you when you're walking by faith. Now, we can go throughout the Bible. Boy, we can put in a this and we can put in that. Is that what you want to do? You want to take 50 points and just make our way through the whole Bible and talk about a lot of what God is and all of that's in here? And is Paul letting us know right here in context? Has Paul not told us what the fullness of God is that we can be filled up with? If we are filled with this love, if we grasp this love, people, you're filled with the fullness of God. You have the comprehension and the beginning of understanding of God Himself. Spiritual love pours in. The passive voice, you receive the fullness of God. You receive this love. The subject is the kicker here. Not every believer is going to have the fullness of God. There'll be believers who are going to be righteous and moral and pure. There'll going to be believers who are very knowledgeable in Bible doctrine. There are going to be believers who have great experiential, emotional experiences. There are going to be believers who spend their whole life serving God. And not a one of them will ever experience the fullness of God. What a tragedy. Like we saw Sunday morning, to be so close to the action yet so far away. Disciples right there with the Savior. So close, and not have a clue what's going on. Where do you get something to eat?
And he's right there in the middle of this whole spiritual warfare. Oh, who fed him? Why aren't you eating, Lord? And a woman living with a man that's not even a husband is closer than those disciples are going to be for a while. And so she goes into the town and tells him, go check it out. See if it's not the Messiah. He's ready for it. How unfortunate to be so close, yet so far away. So what is the fullness of God? The fullness of God is His love. Why don't some Christians have it? Why don't some believers have it? People, why don't unbelievers have what we understand as eternal life or salvation in Christ? Because they don't want it just what? They don't want it just simply by trusting in Christ. No, I'm going to work for it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They remind me. So many unbelievers on that side of the cross and believers on this side of the cross remind me of the Red Sea. Okay, the Lord opens it up. Here it is. Opens it up. And all you have to do is just walk down the ship. Walk there. Oh, no! I'm going to swim across for the Lord. Like that makes you a great believer. Let's swim across for the Lord. Let's show the Lord we're no wimps. Wimps walk across there, but boy, we're going to swim for the Lord. Everybody, let's swim. And that's the way a lot of Christians live. They, if I just use this, well, let's climb over all these things and break your leg here and your arm there and your neck there. Fall all over yourself, need help and everything else if you make it at all. You just walk across right here. Nah, it's too easy. Faith's too easy. You got to work for God. You got to swim for God. You get killed. That's what law is designed to do. That's what work is designed to do. It's designed to kill. Okay. Why does an unbeliever have this eternal life? Because they don't want to just trust Him. Why don't believers have it? Because they don't want to just trust Him. It's that simple. Taking the Isaiah 28 phrase, they will not listen. This is why some believers will never experience the fullness of God. They refuse to freely receive it by faith, simply by trusting Him. So not every believer experiences the fullness of God. And my desire that you receive, experience the fullness of God. You have the potential. The Holy Spirit's there. But so few believers will ever experience the fullness of God. So, what is the fullness of God? It's in the source of God. And it's His love. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? The fullness of God is the love of God. This phrase does not refer to the essence of God, as we think of the essence of God, sovereignty, righteousness, faithfulness, immutability, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresent. It's not referring to that. Not referring to that at all. This phrase does not refer to God's blessing. There's blessings that God gives that we think about. This phrase refers simply to His love. That's what it refers to. It refers to being what? We have a whole thing if we could start putting things together here. Galatians chapter 4. Okay. What is there? Christ formed in you. We have the expression put on Christ in Colossians. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay. That's a theta he used to God. Okay. Yeah, what did we start to? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, transformed into His image. Okay. What starts evolving out of all of this? Start seeing the same thing. Here we have the fullness of God. All of these things we start seeing come down to being that God is love. In closing, look at Ephesians 4,
13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And what is that? That is his love. To love as he loved us. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, that is, he, God, put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, he, Father, under the feet of Jesus Christ, and gave him, as God the Father given to Jesus Christ, his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. People, what we're dealing with, the fullness of God, is the fullness of Christ in you. And the fullness of Christ in you is his life. Having that same love flow through you. Look with me at John 1:16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1:16. For of his fullness, Jesus Christ, we have all received, and grace upon grace. And one more passage, Colossians, way over to Colossians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory, that was the same phrase we had in our study in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 3 that we're looking at, the riches of his glory, of this mystery, among the Gentiles, and what is it? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, are all of these things talking about something different? I think not. All of these things, if we'll let the Spirit open our eyes, all these things are talking about the same thing, the love of God, which is what? Jesus Christ. So that when Christ is formed in you, you have the fullness of God. When Christ is forming in you, you have this love. When this love is flowing through you, you have Christ in you. So this is what is occurring. Okay, we're about through with this entire study. So let's read, and then we'll close. Let's read from verse 14. Ephesians chapter, it's our last time here, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. See how all of this flows now for you. Fullness of God is love, and the place of this love. And we're in the series of studying how to love as Christ loved. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Okay, I'm going into prayer. We know 15. Look at 16. I bow my knees to the Father in prayer that he, God the Father, would grant you, parentheses, according to the riches of his glory, in parentheses, now, that he, the Father, would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. Alright, so that first you're strengthened through the Holy Spirit. Why? Everything depends on the empowering ministry of the Spirit. There's no Christ, no love, nothing's going to happen until you walk in the power of the Spirit by faith. That's why that is essential. The how. How am I filled with the Spirit? Not just be filled with the Spirit, but how am I filled with the Spirit? Now verse 17, that. Once you have the strength of the Spirit, that. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts, may dwell in your hearts, be at home. First of all, the Holy Spirit comes, makes everything ready for him. Question, how? How? By faith in Jesus Christ. How? Or in the Holy Spirit, by means of our faith. Okay, that in love, spiritual love, you, the believer, now walking by faith, being rooted and grounded. You know, I want to stop here and just talk with you, because some of you know, some of you don't. I used to take the you here, that in love, you, and because of the way I translated Scripture, the you there, and it has to be somebody special, or I mean, something about this person, I used to say, oh, this can only be the mature believer who has tons and tons of doctrine, lots of work of learning. And if you didn't, you weren't there. How long?
It's so simple. Do you hear it? The believer who dares to walk by faith, who just dares to trust Him. That in love, you, being rooted and grounded. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the true standings by God. That you being grounded, rooted. See? What spiritual love does, these things that it does, have the solid foundation that you may be able, there's that ability again, the ability to comprehend, to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. That is, of this love. And that it means the immeasurability of it. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowing, surpasses knowledge. Now, how can all that be? This is what the Holy Spirit gives us experientially when we walk by faith. In order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. We are graciously given the Holy Spirit. We are graciously given Jesus Christ so that we may what? We may know His love and have the fullness of God. Now let's just finish reading. This takes us to verse 19, but let's just read 20 and 21, how Paul ends this section of his letter. Now, coming out of this prayer, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. I love poetry. I have over 100 books in poetry. And one of the writers that I really like is Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And in one of her sonnets, she says that the gift of God puts man's best dreams to shame. If we can begin to grasp what Paul is saying here, I think she had the sense of what's happening here. She didn't relate it to Scripture, but that's what we have in verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. That's the Holy Spirit pouring in spiritual love. That's how He does this. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now, since it says, and in Christ Jesus, who are we talking about? Talking about God's Father. People, we've got to move beyond and get to where Christ and why Christ came. He came to take us to the Father. He came to take us, even the love of Christ, whose love is that? If we talk about the humanity of Christ, the love of the humanity of Jesus Christ, whose love is that? It's the Father's love. It's divine love. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's their love. So we're filled up with Him. And this is for His glory. Why do I want to love one another as Christ loved? Because when you love one another as Christ loved people, look what it says. You are giving Him the glory. I'm not the judge. What did we see in James on our Wednesday night study? I'm not the judge. I'm not the lawgiver, and I'm not the judge. What I can do is to demonstrate His love toward one another. This is where the church is so failing and so lacking, is in me experiencing this love and then having this love flow from them and then experiencing that love from someone else. So you ask yourself, does someone know from me, think about it, does someone know from me how God loves? The way I love, will they know how God loves? Because that's what we're here for. This is the way God loves. Beats you, tear you down, speaks against you, judges you, separates, all those types of things. Or does His love do whatever it takes to restore you? And people, when you are in need of this love and have had this love, as a husband, a wife, a friend, relative, whatever, in church, whatever, and you experience it, then you come very close. You say, this is how God loves. I don't understand that, how you could do that, but this is how He loves. And then you get the glory. Closing word of prayer.
Father, pray that you take all those things that we've seen tonight, the Holy Spirit has revealed in truth. It can become a reality in our soul and therefore in our lives and our dealing with one another. Our walking in the Spirit of Christ may be resident and comfortable inside of us in fellowship, that this love may flow through us. This love, Father, we can't even comprehend it, but it can flow through us. Give us illumination, Father, in seeing the importance of this love in our life. Open our eyes and let us see just how important your fullness is in our life, this love is in our life. Not dealing with each other, and dealing with ourselves. That before we leave planet Earth, before we die, we will experience your fullness inside of us. Because when that happens, Father, we will have touched the kingdom of God here on Earth. We would have already made that move from life to death to life, once we have experienced the fullness. Father, we praise you for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen. John.